policing and what needs to be done to build confidence in every community across the state of Arizona and the country when it comes to policing, and how do we affect the change that's necessary, if change is necessary. Joining me right now from an organization called We Rising is their lead organizer. His name is Mr. Rayford, Jacob Rayford. Jacob, welcome to the show. Let's start off with how you differ from a Black Lives Matter or other organizations that want to defund the police, or are you trying to defund the police as well?
You know, this is a method of defunding the police. I know there's there's people politicize the term and whatnot, but really, when you look at these inflated budgets and the fact that these police departments are, geared to serve in these communities as from the standpoint of, you know, an authoritative presence or, you know, leading through tactics such as pain compliance, you know, there's an issue, you know, when it comes to assessing the subject matter of police brutality. You know, when you look at these issues such as what happened with Deion Johnson or Anthony Connell or Antonio Arce, these, resulted in, you know, or evolved from issues which should not have really had police involvement in the first place. So what we're looking to do is create a new department that would serve as a buffer between, the community and the issues of, police culture, over-policing, hyper-policing. And, this department would, of course, specialize in, crisis assistance, behavioral assistance, substance abuse, calls pertaining to the unsheltered community. But when you expand upon that and look at a lot of the calls, such as what is categorically defined by the police department as nonviolent crimes, the larger conversation of why are we trying to heal with the hammer or misuse specific resources for tasks that don't require that approach.
When you have had and the Phoenix Police Department was one of the first in the nation to have squads of officers that are trained to handle mental health evaluations or mental health crisis. And so they have teams of officers that have been trained in that regard. And the other thing I would say, and I'd love to hear your answer to, is we are bigger in landmass and bigger in population than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the Phoenix Police Department is half the size of the Philadelphia Police Department. How can you say that it's too big? I would argue that it's too small.
The first part of what you had said in terms of, you know, getting police officers training in what are legitimately sciences, like behavioral health sciences, of course, there's an inherent, it's incongruous because, you know, you're leading from a standpoint of a specific culture, right? Police departments, fire departments, EMT departments, they operate under a specific workplace culture, just like your, you know, business operates under a certain workplace culture. And with the police department, they're trained to de-escalate using physical means, using what is defined by police officers as pain compliance and other things that really don't, that aren't necessary for specific scenarios, such as what I mentioned in the beginning of the call.
But do you think that they're doing that in situations where it's not necessary? Because again, I would argue with you, we look at the situation of what happened last week where a police officer was killed in the East Valley. That started as a traffic stop with a suspect that was shooting at a sheriff's vehicle from a moving vehicle and then ended up running over two police officers. Had that person just pulled over and complied, none of that would have happened. So are you arguing that police are using force when it's not necessary?
Police officers are using force when it's not necessary. And just based off the culture of policing, it's difficult to or impossible, really, to be honest, to, lead through a specific lens when it comes to behavioral crises and substance abuse crises and calls pertaining to the unsheltered community through the standpoint of, a humanitarian, non-aggressive format. You know, it's ingrained into, the culture of the police force. You're instructing individuals to take, for instance, an hour training on, community relations or, situational awareness that requires an understanding of behavioral sciences. If it were that easy to, master these techniques and understandings, then there wouldn't be literal certifications for these practices that people are, operate from a professional standpoint in. So, but this thing that we say when it comes to crisis assistance and the involvement of police officers is you can't heal with the hammer. You have to have a resource that's comparable to the issue at hand. And more often than not, it is not defined under what is required for policing. So, you know, that is the reason why we're looking to create a department such as the Neighborhood Organized Crisis Assistance Program.
Were you at the City of Phoenix meeting where they were discussing the crisis team and more money for this to expand the fire department's part in all of this in crisis management? Were you at that meeting?
Yes, I'm actually part of the Neighborhood Organized Crisis Assistance Program Coalition, which has members of different organizations and whatnot, such as We Rising, such as Feed Phoenix, such as Grassroots Law Project. So we're at virtually all of these budget hearings that have been taking place over the past quarter.
So someone argued at that meeting against the expansion of that program because the fire department works with the police department or something to that effect. Do you subscribe to that we should not be expanding this? Because it sounds like that program is doing exactly what you are trying to affect.
With their version, the community assistance program, it's very vague in nature. And, you know, in order to instill trust in the community, we have to understand that there is an inherent issue with the issue of, with the policing, the culture of policing, and the communities that are disproportionately targeted. So when it comes to behavioral sciences and crises, it needs to be housed in a department that's able to manifest its own culture. Because of the fire department, it has a culture that is in line with pro-police or authoritative, you know, perspectives. It's hard to lead with a standpoint of empathy because, again, in cases you are dealing with people who are in the middle of mental crises, who are experiencing issues with substance abuse and just need help. They don't need to be treated as, you know, a threat to society. These are individuals who need compassion in very intimate moments.
All right.
And unfortunately, because of how policing is geared, we can't, or how the culture of the fire department is geared, they're not trained to understand that from an empathetic standpoint that you would find in behavioral health sciences.
So 2 points to that, and then I have to wrap this up, but I love this conversation. Number one is there are times when people, you're right, that are going through a mental health crisis or are dealing with a drug abuse issue or something, an overdose or some kind of a bad reaction, and then they become violent and dangerous, and there has to be people to protect them. But let me go back to the other point where I said where the police department is too small. When you talk about lack of training, well, the ability to train is not there because the police officers are overworked and there is no time for training. They're answering calls for service. That's where my call for more officers is. If there's more officers on the street, more officers in the department, it gives them time to go to training and be properly trained so that the other officers on duty can still do their jobs and calls for service. How do you answer that?
I answer that by saying that we need a department that takes the majority of these calls off them in the first place. You speak to overburdened and overstaffed police department, but when you look at what they're dispatched for, that check wellness calls, noise complaints, things that are in just in nature from an elementary standpoint, non-threatening. Then when you place that in a new, independent, fully funded, fully fleshed department, then you take a lot of those resources off the police. So what you're speaking to would be resolved just naturally. And so that's the best way to approach that. And when it comes to training, these are things that require years of understanding, years of schooling, and a legitimate certification in these fields. You can't expect a police officer to train in this, just like you can't expect the EMT to learn how to police. And when it comes to issues where there were potential violent instances, these are very exponentially small and very rare on occasion. And we have spoke with people who operate within these fields. And of course, since it's an independent department, they would have the ability to use their judgment and call for departmental help or other resources if the need arises, just like the EMT would call for assistance from the police. Or from the fire department, if it falls under those categories.
Well, Mr. Rayford, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and I hope you'll come back because this is a conversation I think that needs to continue, and I hope you'll do it.
Thank you.